Okay, so my name is Tim Owen Jones and I'm conducting this interview on behalf of the Wellcome Trust and the One Another Project in Trafalgar Square, London. It's the 19th of September 2009 and the time's 10 past midnight. Can you tell me your name, your age and where you come from, please?
Hi, I'm Rachel Solomon. I'm 26 and I originally come from Eritrea, but I live in London now.
Okay, thank you. When was it you first found out about the One Another Project?
I think it was a month or so before the application period started. I was really keen to apply, so I've completely forgotten when that was, but yeah, that's roughly when.
And what would you say inspired you to put your name forward to become part of the project?
I just thought it sounded like a fantastic once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to be able to be up there amongst all these other great figures of history. Also, just to be able to be part of a really interesting sounding art project, and yeah, that was the kind of double-sided motivation for me.
So how did you feel when you received the email to say that you'd been allocated a slot?
I got a phone call and I jumped when I found out, so I was really excited and told everyone who was around me then. Yeah, so been building up to today and I'm still quite excited. Yeah.
And what have you decided to do for the duration of the hour?
Well, I'm going to be representing a project that I work on called the Climate Squad, which is all about getting young people to kind of tackle the issue of climate change themselves in a really interesting way. And so I was trying to think of something visual to do, so I'm going to dress up as a tree, which kind of represents the environmental side of things, and hold up placards with kind of interesting things to get people's attention, tell them where to go to find our website. So that's what I'm going to do.
So can you tell us more than that, a little bit more about how you got involved in that project, and what it is you get up to with your time there?
Sure. I've worked with young people for quite a while, sort of getting them to find ways to empower themselves through, whether it's kind of through training or other kind of other investigations, kind of bettering themselves and developing their skills and abilities and their future chances in life. So this project was launched a couple of months ago, in June actually, and it sounded really interesting. They had a role coming up in terms of, within training and development department, so enabling these young people to have leadership skills, have all the kind of communications and confidence and all that sort of stuff that will help them in their future lives. And I thought that sounded really interesting and worthwhile, so got involved with it that way. And obviously care about our environment as well, so it's kind of a fantastic opportunity to combine those two things and work with young people in tackling climate change.
What would you say that are the best bits? Mm-hmm. What kind of motivates you to, when you're at work?
Best bits for me are when the young people come along to our training residentials, which I run, and you see them kind of a bit shy, maybe a bit timid, and kind of nervous about being there, meeting all these new people, not knowing exactly what they've put themselves in for, and then finding them kind of gradually getting more confident, kind of bonding really well with their course mates, and then finding they are actually more than capable of making a positive difference to the environment as well as to the world around them and themselves. So kind of that gradual change in them, and on the last day when you see everyone really kind of hesitant to say goodbye, you know, they want to stay together and, you know, make all these positive changes in their lives. That's kind of the heartwarming bit, and I love it.
And how was it you got into that line of work?
It was by chance. At university, I used to volunteer for the Student Community Action, and that was the start of it for me, really. I was more, kind of my studies were around film, art, and working in the media, and I used to work for the BBC a few times. But as time went on, it was there was this pull towards working with young people and just kind of in community-related fields in general. So that's where it started, and that was a few years ago. So it's funny the way life takes you. So, yeah.
So how does it feel then to be part of the One Another Project, to be one of 2,400 people that get to get to become part of it?
Feels really special. I feel really privileged. When I found out, I was like, wow, I can't believe it. As I mentioned before, it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, and I I'm really looking forward to it, and it's special.
Who would you say you're doing it for?
I'd say I'm doing, I know it probably sounds cheesy, but for all the young people who can benefit from taking part in our project, and possibly my future grandkids, you know, telling them about it one day when I'm 86 or something, hopefully.
So how about the space, Trafalgar Square, London? What would you say the significance, importance, if anything, is for you?
I think the historical aspect of it, it being in London in general, such a landmark place. Growing up, I remember my uncle who used to live here, he used to send us just little souvenirs. It wasn't kind of tacky gift shop stuff. It would just be like a tube map or something that made me think, wow, London, you know, just get really familiar with all the tube stops. And I know people are probably thinking cheap present, but it was just kind of like, this is London, the real thing. And looking at pictures of Trafalgar Square and other landmarks, I've always thought, you know, I'm in love with the city. And when I've finally got the chance to move here last year, it was like, I'm actually living here. There was a time where I'd come to this part of London every day after work just to kind of look at the sights in awe. That lasted for about a month, and now it's obviously less frequent, but every time I'm here, I'm still like, it's awe-inspiring. Yeah, so very, very privileged, as I mentioned, to be here as part of this project. Yeah.
Right. And can you tell us a little bit about the journey? So you're originally from Eritrea, you said, mm-hmm. and how you kind of ended up in London, and what the differences are for you.
Sure. I'm originally from Eritrea, but actually 9 years ago, my parents moved us to Liverpool, and that was quite different for me. I wasn't very familiar with, basically growing up, we all, I think, thought English in England was basically Queen's English and Cockney English, so when I came across a Scouse accent for the first time, it was quite an eye-opener, but it's fantastic. I love Liverpool. I tell people I'm a Scouse girl at heart. And then last year, I got a job kind of working with young people in London, so I moved down. It was almost exactly a year ago. I moved down here, and I've been in London ever since, so still not a Londoner, still feel like a tourist, as I say. I come around all these landmarks and stare wide-eyed, but that would be the journey.
Mm-hmm. And what's it been like making the adjustments from all these different locations, different cultures and people and accents?
Uh-huh. It's been great, actually. Growing up, I used to have a lot of kind of international friends, so there's always been that kind of feeling of meeting people from all over the world. In Liverpool, it's amazing, the character of the people, how this kind of, it's one of the UK's biggest cities, but it's also got this feel of kind of a family. So I love it up there. And adjusting was quite easy. It took a few months to get used to the weather. But other than that, it was great. And London, I just feel London kind of makes itself home to everyone who comes to it. So I think I find it that way anyway. There are people who might disagree, but yeah, I just find it very, very much kind of welcoming. Yeah.
Great, okay. Mm-hmm. What would you say then are the most important things to you at the moment in your life?
Absolutely my friends and family. Can't live without them, and there's nothing that can compare. Love you all. And that's the most important thing to me in my life at this stage.
What plans do you have for the future?
I would like to continue working with young people, because as I mentioned, it's something I'm really passionate about. Hopefully one day be able to kind of call London my home as well, because I love living here. I meet a few people wanting to kind of move out to the countryside, but I'm still a city girl at heart. And to just continue to, you know, be surrounded by a healthy, happy bunch of friends and family. That's pretty much it. Overambitious. Yeah.
And what kind of stuff do you get up to in your spare time?
I love movies. That's one of my passions. I kind of study part of my degree was kind of film art and things. So spend a lot of the time in cinema. I weirdly love Arabic calligraphy as well. A bit random, but I think it's beautiful, and I do that to kind of relax myself. It's very calming to kind of repeat the same letters, trying to seek perfection, as it were. And I just generally love hanging out with my friends and family and traveling. Excuse me. Not the best time for a coughing fit. But yes, those would be my passions, I think, and what I like to do.
Okay. And what hopes and fears do you have for the future?
Sorry. Hopes and fears for the future. My hopes are that, aside from kind of the health and happiness of my friends and family, just to live in a world that's, someone was saying the other day that we're all a human family in the world, that kind of recognize that a bit more, starts to kind of take more notice of the fact that we're all kind of the same and we should take care of each other. I know it probably sounds a bit corny, but you know, that involves kind of taking care of the planet as well, because without that, we're pretty much gone. So yeah, just a more aware and more caring world. So yeah.
And what's the emotional journey been from applying for the project in the first place, mm-hmm. to finding out you were involved, to actually being here now?
Well, there were a couple of months that went by when it's like, sorry, you've not been selected, which kind of was like, oh, I hope next month is the month, and now it's here. So I'm really, as mentioned, I was probably like jumping, yeah, I was definitely jumping around when I got the phone call, and it's been kind of a short period of planning of what to do and all that sort of stuff, but really I've just been excited about it and couldn't wait for it to happen, so yeah. Counting down the minutes now.
Great. Mm-hmm. So closing thoughts or anything else you'd like to say about being part of the mm-hmm. One Another project in 2009 in London, UK?
What comes to mind is just a quote I read from Anthony Gormley about the project, just saying, you know, it's all about people coming together to do extraordinary things, I think. I may be paraphrasing, but I completely believe that. So you know, people doing extraordinary and unpredictable things, I think it was. So seeing what other people have done has been really fascinating. And I'm hoping all those pieces add together to make sort of this brilliant finishing piece. Yeah. So, and I'd like to thank everyone for giving us the chance to do this. So, mm-hmm.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.